I'm Gary Gamble, and I'm with the USDA Cotton Quality Research Station in Clemson, and I'm going to be talking about the examination of factors affecting the post-scoured fiber metal content of cotton. Post-scoured, the scouring treatment is sodium hydroxide, the typical thing used in a textile mill. And this work is sort of an outgrowth of work that we're doing in cooperation with Cotton Incorporated to try to identify factors involved with dyeability differences in cottons, which are otherwise identical according to HVI properties. Previous work that we've done indicates that following the sodium hydroxide scouring, different cottons will exhibit varying levels of calcium and magnesium content. and these contents of the metals, the varying metals, seems to be associated with some of these dyeability differences. But the goal of this work is to try to identify what factors are involved with these fibers that lead to these differences in metal content. To start with, we took two cotton varieties from Arkansas and subjected them to combing. We took the rovings and the noils from the combing, from the combed cottons, and analyzed them with aphis. And then following that, we scoured these cottons in order to, and then we digested them in acid and analyzed for calcium content. And the idea of looking at rovings and noils is sort of twofold. We wanted to separate the immature fibers out and then the rovings will be more mature, the noils will be less mature. Plus, with these treatments, we remove a lot of the trash, or most of the trash, so that the leaves and stems won't interfere with our analysis. So this is the result of the initial part of this study. You can see that the comber noils have a low maturity ratio and a high metal content, whereas the rovings from the same cottons have a much higher maturity ratio and a lower calcium content. And when we fit this with a linear fit, you can see that we get a very nice R square. So this looked pretty good to begin with, but then of course we chose to do some more cottons and things change a little bit. So with these additional cottons, we use finisher drawing. And in the first set, we use cottons from a variety of locations in Texas, two different varieties and several locations. And then following that, we looked at varieties that were grown in Georgia and Mississippi and included those. So this graph shows the results of the addition of these varieties from Texas. We had an FM variety, which has higher maturity than the DP varieties. And when we fit those along with those comber noils and rovings, we still get a decent R-squared fit, okay? So there still seems to be some indication that the maturity is related to this post-scoured metal content. But then we included those Georgia and Mississippi cottons, and I didn't even bother to try to fit this. You can see what happens here. The whole fit kind of starts going haywire, and I have a feeling that the more cottons I included, this would just turn into a shotgun blast kind of thing. So if I can, I decided to sort of concentrate on these obvious outliers up here. And in order to do that, just by serendipity, we found a cotton that was grown in Arkansas. It was grown in the same field, harvested from different rows, and they got included into separate modules, but it's the same variety of cotton grown in the same field. And what happens is these two cottons, they have the same maturity. You can see them on the white spots here. Same maturity, but widely different calcium contents following sodium hydroxide scouring. So I pursued this, thinking that, well, these things are identical cottons, but they have these very different calcium content. So these identical cottons, they came from the same field, but have a different calcium content. And this residual calcium content, I think, is due to incomplete removal of pectin on the surface of the fiber. And the pectin interacts with calcium. The calcium acts as a cross-linking agent for the pectin. An additional treatment using an alkaline EDTA solution might remove this secondary pectin component. And I want to monitor these changes using, I'm going to dye the fabrics and then monitor these changes. And you'll see why I did this. Part of it's twofold, is to indicate what effect this has on the actual utility of the fabric itself with these different pectin contents. So we took these two cotton samples and we processed them into knit fabrics. And I did three different sort of scouring treatments. One was just an ethanol extraction to remove the waxes. it shouldn't affect the pectin content very much. The second was the standard sodium hydroxide treatment, a 1% solution at 90 degrees C for 1 hour. And then third, we took that same fabric from number two and treated it with the additional treatment of alkaline EDTA, 1 hour at 50 degrees C. Following these treatments, all the fabrics were bleached and then dyed in the same pot, same time, using reactive blue number four. And then we took those and we determined the L-star value on our colorimeter. And for this work, I just took an average of eight readings on each of these fabrics to get the results. And here, this may take a little explanation, but you can see with the ethanol extracted fabric, it has a much lower L-star than the others. And this is a significant difference. You can actually see the color difference with your eyes. And this is the indication that having that extra pectin on the fiber actually helps to absorb more of the dye. Basically, the more pectin that's there, the darker the fabric's going to be once you dye it. Looking at the sodium hydroxide scoured fabrics, though, we have the high calcium shown in red and the low calcium shown in yellow. And remember, these are the same cottons from the same field, just with the different calcium contents. And from these results, if I can find the mouse, you can see that following sodium hydroxide scouring and bleaching and then dyeing, that these two fabrics have a difference in color. And it's with the work here, that's a significant difference, okay? And I can't see it with my eyes, and maybe some of you could. My eyes might not be so good. But according to the colorimeter, there is a difference here. And then we did the additional treatment of the sodium hydroxide scour plus the EDTA soak, and you can see that this the high calcium cotton, it once we dye it, it has less dye absorption because we've removed more of the pectin. And although these look a little bit different, these aren't significantly different once you do that additional treatment. So we basically equalized these two cottons to be the same dyeability using reactive blue 4 by this additional EDTA treatment. So the conclusions, the post-sodium hydroxide scour cotton do exhibit some correlation between calcium pectin content and maturity ratio. But other factors, which we don't really understand yet, lead to a wide variation in calcium and pectin content. And so these factors, I mean, my guess is that although these are from the same field, if you look at some of the data from an agronomist, if you look at fields, there's different soil types in a field, different moisture levels in different parts of the field. So my feeling is that cotton's grown in different microenvironments might lead to a different pectin content. This calcium pectin content that remains after the sodium hydroxide scouring, it presumably it differs in structure from that which is solubilized by the standard treatment. It's not removed by the standard scouring with sodium hydroxide, so you have to treat it with EDTA to remove the calcium, and then it has to be in an alkaline environment for that pectin then to be solubilized. And finally, the pectin component of the fiber appears to have a higher reactivity with reactive blue 4 than with cellulose, leading to dyeing differences. Now, this far, I've only used this reactive blue 4, but some indications are that different dyes, they're going to have widely different structures. They may have different effects. So this is just one dye, but that's the result. Any questions? And I'd like to thank Cotton Incorporated for their support in this project. Thank you.